We're now going to read from Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter 4. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here, and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know. For there is no one else besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest it impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging to confirm a transaction. The one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other, and this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech, and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, and the name of the dead may that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem, and may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is more to you than 7 sons, has given birth to him." Then Naomi took the child and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighbourhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these are the generations of Perez. Perez fathered Hezron. Hezron fathered Ram. Ram fathered Abinadab. and Aminadab fathered Nahshon. Nahshon fathered Salmon. Salmon fathered Boaz. Boaz fathered Obed. Obed fathered Jesse. And Jesse fathered David. Amen. Throughout the book of Ruth, we have been looking at the way that God's purposes have been fulfilled through events as they came to pass. And we've seen, in particular, Ruth and Naomi trusting God, trusting in God's purposes. And now we see Boaz also trusting in God's purposes. You may remember from chapter 3 that after their earlier trials, things were beginning to look up for Ruth and Naomi. Boaz had effectively accepted Ruth's proposal of marriage, but there was a stumbling block. We read in chapter 3, verse 12, Boaz was speaking and said, "And now it is true that I am a redeemer, yet there is a redeemer nearer than I." So now in chapter 4, we see Boaz tackling this stumbling block, if you like. He's trusting in God, yet he does take action. So verse 1, it says, "Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there, and behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, 'Turn aside, friend, sit down here.' And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, 'Sit down here.' So they sat down." Now the gate of the city served as kind of a town hall and courthouse, and it was a general place where transactions were carried out, as well as cases being decided. So we see that this Redeemer, who isn't named, just he was passing by, rather like he just happened to be passing by. Just as in earlier chapters, Ruth just happened to be working in the field of Boaz. Yet we know that through all these things, the Lord was working. There are many places in the Bible that tell us that God works through natural events, even in small things. A couple of examples are Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 30. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But even the hairs of your head are all numbered." So God knows even about the smallest details of life, of the natural world. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." Things don't just happen by chance. The Lord is in, is at work through the natural world. as we just sung, with God things don't just happen, everything by him is planned. So Boaz trusts the matter to the Lord. Now, trust grows out of knowledge of a person. Generally speaking, the more you know a person, the more you will trust them if they are trustworthy. We're naturally reluctant to trust a stranger. So trust grows as the one we get to know proves reliable. On the one hand, we ought to trust God because the Bible tells us to do so. It tells us that he will not fail us. Yet on the other hand, in practice, we find we are more able to trust God as we prove him to be reliable in our own experience. Verse 3, Then he said to the Redeemer, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you. So we're told that Naomi is selling the land it doesn't actually say why, but I think we know it's out of poverty. The fact that she'd come back from Moab empty, without anything other than this parcel of land that she got from Elimelech, her husband who died. Now, we don't fully understand this role of the kinsman redeemer. I read that the Hebrew phrase for this, and I don't know any Hebrew, is Goel Hadam or something, where the English transliteration of Goel is G-O-E-L, which means redeem. It's in the Bible, it denotes the person who's the nearest relative to another, who's charged with, on the one hand, restoring rights that they have lost, such as in this case by selling property, selling a field, or also it's the responsibility for avenging wrongs. This word goal occurs many times in the book of Isaiah, and in that context it's where God is called the Redeemer of Israel. The obligations of this goal include the duty to redeem a relative from slavery. If someone had been through poverty had been obliged to sell themselves into slavery, then it was the job of this redeemer to buy them back. That we find that in Leviticus 25. We've also, as in the case here with Ruth, the responsibility was to repurchase property. was avenging the blood of a relative, or to some extent marrying a brother's widow. I think we looked at that a bit last time, where it was only the brothers who were required to do that. If a man has died without children, then his brother is required by God's law to marry her, and the children will be counted as children of the dead brother. But the law doesn't go beyond brothers, whereas the concept of the Redeemer does go beyond that. There are also there is a kind of hierarchy, if you like, that it would be a brother that's the closest, and then father, then uncle, then cousin. But we don't know. In fact, some of this is laid down in God's law, yet clearly here, some of it is practice. It's human practice too. So the fact that marrying Ruth comes along as part of the package, that wasn't part of God's law, because that only applied to brothers. That's tradition, if you like, that causes that to come about. Whoever this Redeemer is, and we don't know either his relationship to Elimelech, nor Boaz's relationship, but whoever the Redeemer is, seems to have an eye for a bargain and agrees to buy it. That's till he learns that there are strings attached. Boaz has come prepared, and he tells him about these strings. He says, verse 5, "Then Boaz said, 'The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance.' Then the Redeemer said, 'I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it.'" It's in his reaction to this that we see the Redeemer's selfish motives, if you like. He'd agreed to buy the land to enhance his wealth and boost his inheritance for his own children. But when he realises that Ruth comes with the package, he fears that any sons she may bear will, as he says, impair my own inheritance. And although I believe that Boaz is trusting in God's purposes, he still takes action, actions that are intended to help matters along. Trusting in God's purposes is not all let go and let God. It's a partnership where we're meant to be actively involved in God's work. Before the deal is sealed, he mentions this snag of Ruth. Not that Boaz regards her as a snag by any means. And he also mentions that she's a Moabitess, in other words, a foreigner, perhaps further to discourage the Redeemer from accepting the deal. We then get an explanation of the custom in verses 7 and 8, which had apparently died out by the time the Book of Ruth was written, since it was necessary for the author to explain it to the initial audience. That's this business of taking off the sandal and passing it to the other. By verse 9 and 10, then Boaz said to the elders and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers, and from the gate of his native place you are witnesses this day." It might not sound overly romantic, but it's this transaction before the elders as witnesses that makes Ruth Boaz's wife. And as such, this is the climax of the story. Perhaps it's the birth of Obed. This marriage is greeted in a way that's perhaps a bit surprising to us in verse 11 and 12. Verse 11, then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." Now you might not all know who these various people were that are mentioned in this blessing, but those around at the time would certainly have known. The witnesses pronounce this blessing on Ruth and Boaz by referring back to the origins of the tribe of Judah. Judah is mentioned in there, the end towards halfway through verse 12. And remember that these events took place in Bethlehem in Judah, so it's all to do with the tribe where the events took place. Rachel and Leah had both been barren until the Lord opened their womb, as the Bible puts it. Yet from them the nation of Israel was built. Ruth had faced a barren future, having lost her husband, and the elders desire the same outcome for her, that just as Rachel and Leah and Tamar, great nations were born from them. Their blessing, if you like, is that the same thing will happen for Ruth. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth and became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Then the woman said to Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel. He shall be to you a restorer of life and nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you is more to you than seven sons has given birth to him." Ruth's pregnancy didn't just happen. The Lord was behind it. The Lord gave her conception, just as he is behind all good things. The Throughout the book of Ruth, we're struck by the fact that the main characters are Ruth and Naomi, women at a time when women were not highly regarded in that part of the world. But God doesn't relegate these childless widows to the margins of the Bible, but recruits them to play a vital role in the history of God's redemption through David's line. David's descended from Ruth, and through David's line, the Saviour is born. In the first 16 verses of Matthew's Gospel, we find the genealogy of Christ. And normally in Jewish genealogies, women do not get a mention. Yet five of them are mentioned there: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. And the first three are all foreign women. That's Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. So the way that people assess the worth or the value of others isn't the way that God regards them. These who are poorly regarded, a poorly regarded foreign woman, Ruth, was very important in God's plan. Why do we have these long list of names at the end, where the showing the line from Judah through to David? Well, we've seen through the book of Ruth the small details of Ruth's life, her background, events that she's been through, and this list of names gives us the big picture, because God is directing events. We see we're presented with the big picture because it's saying, look, this is who Ruth is. She's part of the line from which David was descended. We know from elsewhere in Scripture that God intervenes in the world in direct, miraculous ways. We see this in Genesis, Exodus, Judges, the Samuel, Kings and Chronicles, Daniel. Throughout the New Testament, many, many places, we see God performing miraculous wonders. Yet here, in Ruth, and in other books like Esther, we see God working through circumstance and natural events to achieve his purposes. It's our role to trust him, yet also to work with him as he directs. Amen.